Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. This is the word of the Lord. It has been a week of tragedy, unanswered questions, pain, sorrow. It began earlier this week, the loss of life with the loss of a beloved teacher, band leader, coach, friend, father figure, as Mr. Cunningham left this world way too early. Unexpectedly, leaving a hole in this community and in the lives of many of our young people in this church who've been impacted and groomed and nurtured through his love and leadership. Continued through the family loss of Robert Scott and the grief that Jason and his family have anticipated for some time, have anticipated and known it was coming, but knowing and being prepared and being okay with it is another thing altogether. And then finally, all of us have experienced the killings that have gripped our nation. The loss of life senselessly that we can't make sense of and wonder how and when and if it will ever be overcome. A week of grief, pain, sadness, sorrow, brokenness. You know, as I shared our reading today, I can't help but wonder, as I heard this question of the lawyer, if perhaps maybe this one, this teacher of the faith, was dealing with his own pain. His own grief, perhaps. As he questioned to Jesus that one passing question that is before all of us in times of grief, what have I got to do to secure my own gift, my own inheritance, overcome my own mortality? He asked it, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It was before him, maybe someone that he knew, someone dear to him, perhaps a leader in the faith, a family member, a friend, or someone in government or in public service had died unexpectedly. It was on his mind, his own fragility, his own need for power from on high. What must I do? As we consider the depth of his question and the answer that Jesus gave, Jesus gives us a symbol and a reminder, a reassurance that there is life, friends, even in the midst of death. I must say to us today, as we consider these events and hear this scripture, that death does not get the final answer as people of Christ. That we are ones who've been restored from power on high that helps us through our grief, but also will ultimately conquer it forever. Friends, those that you've lost, there will be a homecoming. People ask sometimes, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And the answer to that question is, we know them now, so certainly we'll know them then. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, now we only see in a mirror dimly. You know those words, the love passage. But then he says, we will know fully, even as we've been fully now. If now we only know each other partially, imagine how much better we'll know and love them in the next realm. There's hope. Death doesn't get the final answer, family. Friends, people of hurt and loss, life wins. Love prevails. As we see the tragedy of the tension, the anger and the hate that's engulfing our nation, I look back as I did a search, a Google search this week, and I searched the words bringing to America together. And on the very first page of that search, I saw these three responses. One from 7 years ago from President Barack Obama, who said, I have failed to bring America together in my first year. I'll try to do better. And earlier this year, in March of this year, one of the headlines in the news article I searched, it said, Westlake woman believes that Hillary Clinton will bring America together. And then finally, last month, the headline said in June, Trump says, I will bring America together. As I look back upon the presidency of Barack Obama, I don't think he's done much better since the first year of bringing America together. And as I look upon the campaign of Hillary Clinton, I don't suspect that she'll do much better bringing America together. And finally, as I consider Donald Trump, I don't have hope in him bringing America together. We are a broken people, a broken land, filled with dissension, tension, pain, and sometimes, if we're honest, hate. I've heard it said before, and perhaps you have, if you're not growing, right? You know how it goes. You can finish it for me. If you're not growing, if you're not getting better, if you're not growing, you're dying. And it seems in some ways that we as a nation are not growing together. We're not getting better. And it makes us wonder, are we dying? But there's hope. There is reassurance for we as people of faith, because America, a people, can come together again. But friends, we can't expect our government leaders to do what they weren't made to do. Our friends have a high, important calling. Those who serve, like our representative Jody, they are there to serve and legislate and protect us when people don't work together. They can't
fix the disease. They deal more with the symptoms. You see, the brokenness, the disease of this country is not something that can be conquered by elected officials. It must be conquered and overcome by the Church of Jesus Christ. Now maybe you say, preacher, that's your platform. You're a preacher. Sure, you're going to say the hope's the church. But friends, I don't think I'm reading into the text too much today to hear what Jesus says about living and dying. You remember, we said, if we're not growing, if we're not living, then we're surely dying. And Jesus answers the question of the young man this. Do this and you will what? You will live. Remember what he said to do to live? Love. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we do in worship. That's why we come to this holy house on the Sabbath. It's to express our love to God. And we need to fill these sanctuaries every Sunday. As I preach to the choir of you gathered here today, we must be in worship. We must express our love to God. I've invited countless people to worship this week. Because God's people, He needs them in His holy house of restoration. This is where we conquer the disease of our land. Jesus said, to live, to grow, we love. And you see, friends, we as the church are the place where love is practiced in the name of Jesus today. The church is the hope. The church is the only hope for our land. The church that trusts in power from on high. We have those who will serve. And they'll do their best. I'm convinced our governor, our legislators, our president, our Congress and Senate, they are trying to do their best. But they weren't made to do it all. I had a friend, my friend Chet Dixon in Houston, Texas, shared with me recently. He said, you know, Jody, I'm an engineer by trade. And though I'm in the technology industry, I still approach things as an engineer. He said, that's the way I'm made. We can't get away from what we were made. If we're an automobile, we're made to run on fine phosphorus fuels, not tap water. An engine, a machine. A people can't get away from how they're made. We, friends, the church, are made in the image of God. We are made, my friend said, to be holy. And to be holy is to be an ambassador of God's love. It is in us. We can't get away from it. We, the church, are the hope to making America strong in bringing it together again. Now once again, that's what you expect to hear from the preacher. But I also heard those same words this week in a Rotary meeting, a meeting of business leaders, civic leaders. We received a speech from retired Supreme Court Justice of Mississippi, Dr. David Chandler, who's recently been appointed earlier this year by our governor to head the foster care program that's near and dear to your heart, Mary John, in our state. Dr. Chandler looked at us as business leaders And he said to us, government can't fix the problem in our state. We have 6,000 foster children in this state alone. It's the brokenness in the family. It's the drugs. It's the addiction. It's the lack of love in our community. The church must do it. I remember serving on a board at Memphis Seminary with the First Lady of Memphis several years ago, the wife of Mayor A.C. Wharton, and this lady who'd grown up in politics, who'd been a legal professor, said to me in a small group of people, she said, Jody, the hope for our nation is the church. One trained to believe in government, in economics, in the legal system to fix all of our problems, saw that to deal with the disease, we had to go to the root of the source. We have to love. Now, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to love those who are different as we wrestle with this text today? To love is not always to mean like, friends. To love is to not always be happy. Jesus, as he heard the word of the grief of the loss of his friend Lazarus, the most famous, perhaps smallest verse of scripture are these two words. Jesus wept. There's time to grieve. And as Jesus walked into the temple and he saw those abusing the house of God and use it for something that he didn't want it to be, that was against God's will, Jesus turned over the tables in his anger. There's time to be angry. Love does not mean we like everything that people do who we disagree with. Love does not mean that we embody everything that every protester stands for. Love does not mean that we like it when people threaten our land and our public service officials. Love means we choose to reflect the image of Jesus and treat the other as we want to be treated. Not as they treat us. It's not hard. It's impossible. We can't do it on our own. But you see, friends, one of the gifts of being made to be holy is that we're not going it alone. We as Christian people have been anointed. We've been gifted by the Holy Spirit to have a strength that's not ours alone, to live in love when we can easily choose hate. We have God's strength. Love is our only hope to put this nation back together. Worship and love of our God, prayer and crying out to the Lord to strengthen us and make us what we're not. He is our hope. So Jesus said to the lawyer, do this and you'll live. But the lawyer asked him, he said, I just have one more question. I think I understand a little bit about love now, but who's my neighbor? And Jesus shared this parable. There was a police officer who worked in the city of Dallas. He went down one afternoon to work a protest site that had been organized for the Black Lives Matter. He wasn't highly motivated. He felt cynicism for those who were protesting when hundreds of black on black crimes had happened in his city alone. And here he's called to help them organize peacefully, but he goes. And while there, he's shot. He's injured and he's lying on the ground. He's trying to get to cover, and there's a Presbyterian pastor there holding his son, and he wants to help. He wants to go help him move, but he has his own son. He has his own family. He has their own safety to consider. So he can't go. He doesn't help. And walking by was a deacon, a church deacon, but the deacon was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He told his wife he would be in another city, and he was in this city with another woman, and he was there. And if he helped and he got his news, his paper on the news, his wife would know, his family would know he couldn't help. So he did nothing. Finally, the organizer of the protest, the one who said, "We're not going to take it anymore. White people, white officers will pay." Finally, that one ran to the officer, pulled him out of fire, took him to the hospital, and left his credit card. Friends, love is the only hope. And our neighbor is the person we most unlike our neighbor to be. May we pray that God will strengthen us to love the world. Amen.